Today is the second day of June. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Great to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today around the Global Campfire for the next installment, the next step forward on the journey that we began, back at the beginning of the year. That journey has wound us into the sixth month of the year now. And all the way from Genesis to 2 Samuel at this point, we will also be kind of crossing a milestone when we get to the New Testament, because we will conclude the Gospel of John today, which means we will conclude the Gospels. And so once that happens, you know, we get the badge, the Gospels badge on our journey in the app, as we're kind of keeping track of where we're going in the sections of the Bible that we read. We get the Gospels badge. So we're moving right along. Anyway, before we can do that, we need to take the next step in 2 Samuel. Today, chapter 19, verse 11 through 20, verse 13. When the things that all the Israelites were saying reached the king, David sent a message to the priests Zadok and Abiathar. Say the following to the elders of Judah. Why should you be the last to bring the king back to his palace? You are my relatives. You are my flesh and bones. Why should you be the last to bring the king back? And tell Amasa, aren't you my flesh and bones too? May God deal harshly with me, and worse still, if you don't become commander of my army from now on instead of Joab. So he won over the hearts of everyone in Judah as though they were one person, and they sent word to the king, come back, you and all your servants. So the king came back and arrived at the Jordan River. Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Gera's son Shimei, the Benjaminite from Bahurim, hurried down with the people of Judah to meet King David. 1,000 men from Benjamin were with him. Ziba too, the servant of Saul's house, along with his 15 sons and 20 servants, rushed to the Jordan ahead of the king to do the work of ferrying over the king's household and to do whatever pleased him. Gera's son Shimei fell down before the king when he crossed the Jordan. He said to the king, may my master not hold me guilty or remember your servant's wrongdoing. That day my master the king left Jerusalem. Please forget about it, your majesty, because your servant knows that I have sinned. But look, I am the first person from the entire family of Joseph to come down today and meet my master the king. Zeruiah's son Abishai responded, shouldn't Shimei be put to death for that, for cursing the Lord's anointed? But David said, my problems aren't yours, you sons of Zeruiah. Why are you becoming my enemy today? Should anyone in Israel be put to death today? Don't I know that today I am again king over Israel? Then the king told Shimei, you will not die. And the king swore this to him. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also came down to meet the king. He hadn't taken care of his feet, trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he returned safely. When he came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? My master and king, Mephibosheth answered, my servant abandoned me. Because your servant is lame, I asked my servant, saddle a donkey for me, so I can ride and go to the king. So Ziba has slandered your servant to my master and king. But my master and king is a messenger of God. So do whatever seems best to you. Even though all the members of my grandfather's family were nothing short of demonic toward my master and king, You still put your servant with those who eat at your table. So what right do I have to beg for still more from the king?" "You don't need to talk any more about this," the king said to him. "I order you and Ziba to divide the property." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take all of it, since my master and king has come home safely." Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim. He accompanied the king to the Jordan River to send him off there. Barzillai was very old, 80 years of age. He had supported the king during his stay at Mahanaim because Barzillai was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come over the Jordan with me. I will provide for you at my side in Jerusalem." But Barzillai said to the king, "How many years do I have left that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Do I know what is good or bad anymore? Can your servant taste what I eat or drink? Can I even hear the voices of men or women singers? Why should your servant be a burden to my master and king? Your servant will cross a short way over the Jordan with the king, but why should the king give me such a reward? Let your servant return, so I may die in my own town, near the grave of my parents. But here is your servant Kimham. Let him cross over with my master and king, and treat him as you think best." The king said, "Okay, Kimham will cross over with me, and I will treat him as I think best, and I will do for you anything you desire from me." So all the people crossed over the Jordan River, and the king stayed behind. The king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and then Barzillai went back to his home. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham went with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel escorted the king across. Then everyone in Israel came and said to the king, "Why did our relatives, the people of Judah, steal you away and bring the king and his household across the Jordan River, along with all of his soldiers?" Then all the people of Judah answered the Israelites, "Because the king is our relative. Why are you angry at us about this? Have we taken any of the king's food? Has he given us any gifts?" But the Israelites answered the people of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the monarchy. What's more, we are the oldest offspring, not you. So why have you disrespected us? Weren't we the first to talk about bringing back our king?" But the words of the people of Judah were even harsher than the words of the Israelites. Now, a despicable man named Sheba, Bichri's son from Benjamin, was also there. He sounded the trumpet and said, "We don't care about David. We have no stake in Jesse's son. Go back to your homes, Israel." So all the Israelites left David to follow Bichri's son Sheba. But all the people of Judah stayed close to their king from the Jordan River all the way to Jerusalem. When David arrived at his palace in Jerusalem, the king took the 10 secondary wives he had left to take care of the palace and put them in a house under guard. He provided for them, but he didn't have sex with them. They were confined until the day they died and lived like widows. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call everyone in Judah here to me 3 days from now. You should be here too." So Amasa went to call Judah together, but he took longer than the allotted time. David told Abishai, "Bichri's son Sheba will cause more trouble for us than Absalom did. Take your master's servants and chase after him before he finds fortified cities and escapes from us." So Joab's men marched out after Sheba. This included the Keratites and the Pelatites and all the warriors. They marched out of Jerusalem to pursue Bichri's son Sheba. When they got to the great stone in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Joab was dressed in his soldier's uniform. Over the tunic at his waist, he wore a sword in its sheath. As Joab went forward, it slipped out. "How are you, my brother?" Joab asked Amasa, and with his right hand he took hold of Amasa's beard as if to kiss him. But Amasa didn't notice the sword in Joab's hand. Joab struck him in the stomach with it, so that Amasa's intestines spilled out on the ground. He died without Joab striking him a second time. Then Joab and his brother Abishai pursued Sheba, Bichri's son. One of Joab's men stood by Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab." Amasa was writhing in blood in the middle of the road, and the man saw that everyone was stopping. When he saw this, he dragged Amasa from the road into a field and threw a robe over him. Once Amasa was moved out of the road, everyone who followed Joab marched past in pursuit of Bichri's son, Sheba. John 21. Later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They set out in a boat, but throughout the night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. Jesus called to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So they did, and there were so many fish that they couldn't haul in the net. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his coat around himself, for he was naked, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they weren't far from shore, only about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you just caught." Simon Peter got up and pulled the net to shore. It was full of large fish, 153 of them. Yet the net hadn't torn, even with so many fish. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples could bring themselves to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asked a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Simon replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." He asked a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad that Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He replied, "Lord, you know everything. You know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. I assure you that when you were younger, you tied your own belt and walked around wherever you wanted. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will tie your belt and lead you where you don't want to go." He said this to show the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After saying this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me?" Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. This was the one who had leaned against Jesus at the meal and asked him, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw this disciple, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to remain until I come, what difference does that make to you? You must follow me." Therefore, the word spread among the brothers and sisters that this disciple wouldn't die. However, Jesus didn't say he wouldn't die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what difference does that make to you?" This is the disciple who testifies concerning these things, and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If all of them were recorded, I imagine the world itself wouldn't have enough room for the scrolls that would be written. Psalm 120, a pilgrimage song. I cried out to the Lord when I was in trouble, and he answered me. Lord, deliver me from lying lips and a dishonest tongue. What more will be given to you? What more will be done to you, you dishonest tongue? Just this: a warrior's sharpened arrows coupled with burning coals from a wood fire. Oh, I'm doomed, because I have been an immigrant in Meshech, because I've made my home among Kedar's tents. I've lived far too long with people who hate peace. I'm for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Proverbs 16:16-17. Acquiring wisdom is much better than gold, and acquiring understanding is better than silver. The road of those who do right turns away from evil. Those who protect their path guard their lives. Okay, so as we were saying at the beginning, it's a brand new month, and we have come to the end of an entire grouping of books, a portion of scripture known as the Gospels. So since the beginning of the year, our entire New Testament journey has taken us through Matthew, and then Mark, and then Luke, and John. The stories of Jesus' life and ministry and teachings on earth. And so today we completed the Gospel of John with some really, like, a really, really riveting and fascinating way for it to come to a conclusion. Jesus cooks his friends breakfast on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. So, a familiar scene, deeply human scene, in some ways a miraculous scene with the fish, a playful scene. They don't know exactly who's calling them down the shore. And then Jesus tells them to cast their nets on the other side, something that they had heard from him before. So Peter, you know, he hears these words, sees these fish that they caught, throws on some clothes, jumps into the water, swims to Jesus. "It's the Lord!" He exclaims, and the joy. So they eat breakfast. Beautiful. After breakfast, Jesus asked Peter three different times if he loved him. And each time Peter tells him that he does, like, of course he does. And each time Jesus instructs him to take care of the flock of people that had believed in Jesus. And so, for many scholars, they interpret this to be an intentional thing on Jesus' part. Peter had denied him three times. And so this is seen to be a restoration, a moving through that together. And then Jesus gave advance words about how his life, Peter's life, would proceed and end. And the most interesting thing happens, something that might hit us right between the eyes, some of us. Peter is restored from denying Jesus three times. And then Peter is told how his life will end up, that it will end up ultimately that he has to go in a way that he does not want to go. So in response to all of that, and breakfast, and the miracle of the fish, Peter looks at John, who happens to be there, and says, "What about him, Lord?" That mimics so many of our stories. If we pay attention, we'll often catch ourselves comparing our lives in profoundly unhealthy ways to that of somebody else. The response to Peter's question was very typical of Jesus, just cutting through it all and getting to the heart of the matter itself. What difference does that make to you? What is that to you? So when we find ourselves you're just caught in the comparison trap, we should maybe remember that. What is that to you? What difference does that make to you? That question forces us to acknowledge that we're probably dealing with envy and jealousy, which are absolutely toxic poison to our body, our nervous system, our mind, our hearts, our communities, our relationships. Like, really, really awful stuff. Then Jesus speaks the final words found in the Gospels that we will hear from his lips directly. And if we would remember them, if we feel like we kind of lost our purpose or we can't find our way, or we just can't seem to navigate for too many steps, not enough to actually get on any kind of good path. Maybe the last words that snap everything back are what we need to remember. Jesus looked at Peter and said, "What is that to you? You follow me." And so that simplicity, Father, hits us starkly. And we invite your Spirit into that. Holy Spirit, come. We are constantly measuring how well we are doing based on how well we are doing as compared to somebody else. So we are continually pulled into a competition that doesn't really even exist. It's in the water, it's in the culture, it's everywhere. Because ultimately, it is drawing attention toward ourselves to make us distinct in some sort of way, to draw attention in a unique way toward us. If the purpose of that was to reflect your glory upon the earth, what a joy, what a dance, what a relationship that would be, because we would have found our purpose and we would be living in it. But so often it's just that we need to be seen and we need to be validated. And so we go looking for ways for that to happen, to soothe us, that we are important, that we matter, that we belong. But when we put that kind of power in somebody else's hands so that our identity, our value, is as compared to somebody else and what someone else, how other people think about us, then we are doing an act and just modifying who we are to appear to be whatever we think people need. We are who you created us to be. We've been very wounded, but if your healing does come and we are transformed, we are uniquely crafted by you. There isn't anything to compare. So when we find ourselves in that place, looking away from our own lives and where we're going and just looking at other people's lives, especially when we get pulled into the just craziness of social media that is really kind of centered in some of this. Maybe, you know, when it gets to the point that we are feeling inferior and like a loser, we could first realize that we're going to soothe that in some way, and probably it's going to be that we buy something that's being sold to us. Secondly, maybe the question is, what is that to you? And maybe even more important is the instruction. You follow me. And maybe that will bring us right side up in a hurry from the tumbling that we may have gotten into. We lose our way. And then we cause incredible damage that's hard to repair, and it doesn't have to happen. We don't have to lose our way. And so help us, Holy Spirit, to be paying attention to the things that actually matter most and that need to be guarded most, like our heart, like our identity. May we not put that in the hands, either one of those, in the hands of anybody but you and those that you bring to us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app, these are home base. If you are not familiar with them, then you're missing out on home base. Come to home base, get the app, jump in. It's all brand new and such a hard, painstakingly detailed build to enhance our experience as a community, feeling connected, but also in our interaction with the Bible and the places of the Bible. Make sure that you have the new app. I've been mentioning for a couple days, there's a new app update. So update if you haven't. 2.0.1 deals with a lot of little issues. The main one being kind of if you were one of the people getting logged out all the time, and I was, that fixes that issue and very, very much streamlines the zippiness of everything. So make sure you have the update. And once you get it, I mean, there's all kinds of new things to look at in the app. One of the things is that we have the ability now to kind of see each other and hear each other's stories. And so, once you get the app, go into the community section. And then if you click the watch button, you'll see a tab that says testimonials, and that is where you can scroll through and just listen. We can listen to each other. I have so loved doing that. I was like at the doctor for an extended moment the other day, just scrolling through those, and couldn't have loved it more. I'm encouraging you to lend your voice, tell your story. Just go to the community section and press the button that says record a video, and it will tell you everything to do there, and lend your story as we finally kind of see each other in community, understanding each other's stories, getting to know each other better. Just that right there alone is such a dream come true for this 2.0 app. So lend your story. I haven't missed a single one, and every day watch the new ones. And so you lend your voice and your story today. I want to before the day's out, I will have seen it, and I'm standing here by myself looking out at hills, the rolling hills, and green, 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 and it's beautiful and lush. I have to imagine you. And then when I go there, I don't imagine. I hear you. I see you. That's a beautiful thing about our community. So make sure you do that. Don't procrastinate. Do that today. Maybe even now. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you humbly and profoundly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Sharon from Pennsylvania, asking for prayer. On June 1st, I have a neck surgery scheduled of where the doctor will go in and replace a disc and grind off some bone spurs that have been pressing on my nerves and making life quite hard. And I just ask that you would be praying for me for that. Thank you so much.
Good morning. I just want to call in and ask for prayer. My wife and I have been pseudo-separated for almost a year now, and it was her that initiated it. We live under the same roof, so that's kind of made it confusing and hard. But last night she just said, she wanted to take it to the next step and dissolve the marriage. There's a lot that comes with that. You know, over the last year, I've had to slowly grieve my marriage, but there's a long way to go. Also kind of battling the hope that it could be saved, and the Lord might choose to work in both of our hearts, but she said she hasn't changed how she feels, and she even admitted that she doesn't think that our problems are insurmountable, but she just doesn't want to try to fix it, so essentially giving up. I know there is a lot I did wrong in the marriage, a lot I did selfishly and things like that, but I don't want to give up, so it's hard. And, you know, kind of battling with bits of hope over the last year. But I have a stepdaughter, her biological daughter. She's 16, so she's almost graduated, but, you know, it'll be hard to live away from her, and she's busy, so I'll have to, you know, schedule time to see her when possible. And so anyway, I just would appreciate your prayers on how to move forward and just not to let the darkness consume me and worldly things, coping mechanisms consume me. I appreciate it.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. This is Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus. Back in February, I ended up with vertigo. In March, I was able to take a cruise, although I was discouraged by everyone and not encouraged. When I got on the ship, I was okay, no dizziness or anything. When I stepped off the ship, I began to get dizzy again. I have inner ear virus. I am now in the stage of residual, which basically means the dizziness is still there, but I'm able to walk, I'm able to look around. This has taken a big toll on me. It's affected my confidence. It affects me where I'm unsure of myself. It has affected me in every way possible. We are going into now June, and this is going on since February. I just ask for prayer. Running Desperately to Jesus, also known as Staying Desperately Connected to Jesus.
Hello, my name is Martha. I'm calling from California. I'm calling on behalf of a friend. Her name is Marlene. She has a doctor's appointment very soon. Actually, it's tomorrow, May 29th, for a collated artery in her neck. I hope I pronounced that word correctly, but she has it in her neck. And she also experiences pain in her lower back, groin area also, and it bothers her while she's sleeping, when she lies down, and sometimes when she's walking. She has stopped walking because it hurts her real bad. Now, Arlene is close to 90 years old, and she's still moving around. In fact, she recently sewed a costume for me that I will be wearing soon. And I am so grateful for her. And I am asking for prayer for Marlene. And I hope, and I have been encouraging her to talk, pray to the Lord, and to believe, and just continue talking to Him and believing. So I'm joining her in that, and I'm asking to pray for her too, okay? Thank you, and God bless you all.
Yes, good morning. My name is Willis, and I'm calling for a little prayer and encouragement. At this current time, I'm going through 4-stage prostate cancer, which is neuroendocrine cancer, a very, very rare cancer. So I'm on my third round of chemo, which is...
Hello, divers. This is Kay from Ohio. I wanted to pray for Anthony, who is going through cancer, and he's burying his daughter. God, you heard his prayer. You caught those tears. There were many in that family. God, be a fence around them. Hold them up, God, on every leaning side, that your word will carry them through, will strengthen them and guide them, that they will not give up on you, that they will see your hand moving even in death, even in heartache, even in this cancer. God, I know you're able to heal. I pray that is your will right now, God. show him the right doctors. Bring those people into his life, the right treatment, the right nurses, the right supplements, and that everything will be taken care of. The insurance will kick in, that they will have what they need. So as he buries his daughter, God, be with his mind, that he will not grow weary in well-doing. We thank you for coming to see about us all. God, bless those who are also going through this, that they will find comfort in you. Thank you, great God.